You'd have to have due process. The person would have to have an opportunity to respond. Yes.
The PFW committee can correct me, but I'm getting confused, and I did step out of the room, but it seems like we're talking about two different issues.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, you're talking about recall, and on the other hand, we're talking about people being on the local board and on the national board at the same time. And I don't think we can address both issues at the same time. I think we need to deal with that, whether they're going to be on local board or national board first before we move to whether we can snatch them off anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you the KPFA model. I can explain the KPFA model. It is what we have had until 1997 in Pacifica. A local board existed that sat two of its members on the national board. They sat on both boards at the same time. They were a local advisory board member and a national board member. That held those two bodies together in some way.
Yes.
And that's what
we fought for.
That's what we fought for. And that's what we're proposing be reestablished. The local board members who are also sitting on the national board remain on both boards.
I don't understand what the argument is that's against that. Can somebody explain to me why we want people on the local board not to be on the national board?
Janice K. Bryant from New York.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know why we wouldn't. What would be the prohibition of having one being on both, a person being on both boards?
WBAI New York.
There's no prohibition.
No,
say,
but I don't think anybody.
This is Dave Furtick. I'll say that there's.
Oh, okay.
There's an issue relative to local advisory boards.
David Furtick
under
from
the
Los
Corporation
Angeles
for Public Broadcasting rules. Not being able to have managerial day-to-day governance over the local station. Carol's shaking her head, and maybe she's got a more specific analysis of that.
Yes, the CPB rules say that if we accept CPB money, we have to have a community advisory board that does not engage in day-to-day operations. Our local boards do not engage in day-to-day operations. We supervise a manager. In the event, which has never been established, that the CPB should think that our local boards, through having some oversight authority over the station, were insufficient, we could do what KNU does and have an annual meeting of community advisors, and we would qualify for the CPB money.
And the difference.
Can I just surface something here? Concern that I have that, David, I think twice in your last two, three times you've spoken, you've talked about these local boards as being management boards.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned about that. Is that what you mean, or did that just slip out? Because that's a concern.
Well, actually, and I'm afraid it is somewhat, the nomenclature has got to be very specific. You're right. What I'm saying is that there would be a local advisory board. The local advisory board elects a number of its members, for example, four, to the national board. That is the national board. The national board, then, those four people comprise a station committee that acts like a management board. The local advisory board does not manage the station. It merely names people to the national board.
I'm too good at
that. All right.
All right, yeah, I'm just trying, again, figure out where we are.
Listen,
maybe we should let the conversation go.
This is Jabari Zakia from Washington, D.C.
Are we under the section called members? Members' rights?
We're under. members' rights, but we've gone in
Section A.
Section A.
No.
Let me just. Article 3, Section 2, Part A.
Are we dealing with rights or are we dealing with elections?
Section 2 is rights. The first right of a member, that is A, is the election of directors. Some of the proposals that we got don't simply speak to that, though. They speak to election of directors and removal of directors. Or, in KPFA's instance, election removal of delegates and removal of directors. So that's why it's a little confusing, because what we have before us is like they're not all equivalent.
Because I think we should just, I think it would be cleaner if we just list rights. You know, members should have a right to elect LAB members. Members should have a right to do whatever. Because we're getting bogged down in the detail about how to do something, but I haven't seen the listing of what the rights are.
Because okay, so let me help in that clarification process. What I would suggest we do is spend a few minutes now talking simply, and I know the recall issue is connected to the election issue, but can we focus just on the election issue? And that, and it seems to me at least one prominent question is, do we want the members to have the right to elect the people to the local boards? That's one option only. Or do we want the members to have the right, as another option, to vote directly for the local board members and the national board members? Mm-hmm. That's another option.
Leslie,
are people saying no, that they don't want to discuss that? Or they don't want to?
What we don't want.
Oh, okay.
I think the only question is, I think everybody agrees
please,
that...
Please, no one's stalling. We're trying to clarify a complicated...
I think everybody agrees that members should be able to elect people to the LAB, right? Does anybody disagree with that?
No, you're right. I think everybody... Is that true? Everybody agrees that members have the right to vote for the people who sit on the local boards.
Okay.
Whatever we call
them. So the right, only issue is whether those same members have a right to directly vote for members to the national board. So let's get, you know...
Okay, thank you for that. Clarify. So comments, or do people need comments on that, or can we get a quick show of hands on that issue? Okay, so the two possibilities is that the members vote for people directly to be seated on the national board. The second option is that they don't, right? That the national board members would come...
Be elected by
the local board members. Okay? So
Leslie, is that definition of members at this point? In this,
yeah. Yes, we did that.
Okay.
We did that earlier. We'll catch up later.
I wasn't here. Okay, thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. Again, can we just have a quick show of hands on this? That all who feel that the members should have the right to vote directly for the local board members and the national board members. Raise your hand. No, the board is voting, folks. You can raise your hand. That's fine. I'm sorry. You can raise your hand. You can do whatever you want. You're right. Okay. Folks, set. Okay, George, one, two, two. Okay, and... just by show of hands, the alternative proposal is those who believe the members should vote. What did I? I'm sorry. Very sorry.
And what she said before is the members should vote for.
The members vote for the local boards. The local boards, in turn, select or elect the directors for the national.
Thank you, Leslie.
All those who support that. Okay.
That passes.
Okay,
that's
a good idea. So I'd like to see what you think of. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever the number is. Okay, very good. Thank you. Now, should we go to the recall issue? Okay, who can summarize the recall?
Leslie, another point that David made. He talks about out of the local board would become not only directors but a management committee. That part of...
Not under his proposal, but not under all of them.
Oh, okay.
But David is added this section.
But David.
No, that's later on, right?
No, whenever you want, fearless leader.
No, we're on this section.
David.
Again,
that's what
at
I
this particular
to
time, the members of the Interim Pacifica National Board are discussing the bylaws and proposals that are in existence and what they would like to see us move forward with at this particular time.
I don't particularly like it.
I certainly don't.
We're not there yet,
right. Though. It's,
well,
it's later on in
right,
the proposal.
You.
So I understand why it's connected.
With regard to right to recall, it seems to me the only question is, do members have a right to recall? If the answer is yes, then the question is, who do they have a right to recall? And under this, and if people say that members only have a right to vote for LAB members, then the only right to recall would be the right to recall LAB members. If they only have the right to vote for LAB members, then they only have the right to recall LAB members.
That's right.
So they couldn't then have a direct role in the recall of somebody on the national board.
Right.
Okay, so then...
No, what Jabari is suggesting is that they wouldn't have that.
Well,
you can only recall...
He's saying it follows.
The proposal is, or the articulation is, that if... that people should only be able to recall who they put into office, who they vote for.
Well, that's not the proposal on the table. So
right.
The one that's on the table is, it's written into the bylaws that by the listeners recalling someone from their local board, they are, as a result, removed from the national board because that's what the bylaws says happens.
What proposal is this?
Proposal B.
You mean the proposed bylaw?
B-N-C.
On page 6. Look on page 6.
It says...
Page 6 on the small grid.
Okay,
and
that's
thank
also
you.
The PAC proposal.
Okay, thank you.
The members of a radio station shall have the right to elect delegates and to remove any delegate elected by them and any director elected by the delegates from their station area. In the manner provided by the California Corporations Code, the removal of the members of any by the members of any delegate who is also serving as a foundation officer or director shall serve to remove that director from the board of directors and from all offices of the foundation.
What is the function of a delegate? This seems to be introducing a new term.
Yeah,
isn't
it's a legal term. I can explain it, but all it really what it means under the California Corporations Code is that the members have delegated to certain people their right to elect directors.
This is different than electing a lab member?
And then those delegates actually serve as the lab.
In other words, well, the people who are now, if I could ask people, since we haven't come to an agreement what these local entities are going to be called, why don't we just call them local boards for now?
Yeah.
Right? Let's not call them labs or governing boards or this, that. Let's call them local boards. Okay, so the people that the members would elect to be on the local boards would be called delegates.
The reason for that is legal.
No.
It doesn't mean anything. You don't have to worry about it. What it does is it preserves their status as members by delegating their right to elect to someone. And that's why they're called delegates under the law.
So they have been delegated by the members the right to then elect the directors, that is, the people who go on to serve at the national level, right? Which we agreed that we like that step,
right?
Mm-hmm. The members vote for people for the local boards. Those people would be called delegates. We haven't talked yet about what all their other responsibilities might be. We're only talking about one responsibility now, that is to then elect people who would become directors of the Pacifica Foundation by virtue of the fact that they were elected by that local board to serve on the national board.
Leslie.
That's the proposal. Right?
Leslie?
Okay, Mary and then Ray. Mary?
Well, Carol, you said you took this proposed bylaw change where when you ask for removal of a local board member, you de facto also remove that person
exactly.
from the national. Well, if the local membership, if the members locally had nothing to do except indirectly with the election of the national board member, how can they then remove them?
Well,
Ray, go on.
To me, it's simple. If you're not a lab member or a board member, you cannot be on the national board. So therefore, if you remove from the first position, you automatically lose the second one.
It's a qualification to be on the national board.
Okay.
You remove the qualification, bingo.
Technically, also, I don't know how many meetings you'd have to go to, but you would be both on the local board and the national board at the same time. So the way you would get recalled, should you be, you know, need to be recalled, would be by being removed from the local board. By being removed from the local board, if you're not on that, there's no way you could be on the national board, let alone an officer in the foundation anymore. You would have been removed from any role in any of these layers.
Exactly. In some countries, you have to be elected by your own neighborhood to any position, including congressman, senator, congressperson. So if that neighborhood doesn't vote for you, you automatically lose whatever position. I think in England, every cabinet minister, for example, is a member of parliament. And if you lose that election, you cannot be a cabinet member.
Right. Okay, so now, clear. So now can we see if we agree on it? Okay.
Hopefully they will repeat the question.
Okay, again, just because he wasn't on the mic and people are listening, the question was, how could we do that, basically? How could we remove somebody from the national, maybe they'd be great on the local level, they're just not functioning well on the national level. The issue, though, is that they got to the national level by having been elected to the local level. So the only way really to remove them from the national is to take the steps backwards, right? Which
for the listeners to do it.
Yeah, for the listeners to pull them back through the steps. That's what the proposal is. All right.
Are we talking now about the election or the recall issue?
We're talking about the recall now.
I think people are confusing. We're talking about rights of members, right?
Right.
That's all we're talking about. All you're saying is that you want to say that members have a right to recall their who they vote for.
Right.
Okay. That's it.
I know everybody wants.
Now, theoretically, though, the LABs who elect the national representatives could theoretically remove the national representatives, and they could still be on the LAB.
Indeed.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a right that we're talking about. We're talking about a right of the members.
Exactly right.
Okay,
right.
We're talking about things we don't need to talk about. That's what I'm saying.
This is WPFW in Washington, D.C., WBAI in New York, KPFK in Los Angeles, and KPFA in Berkeley.
On the same page. I think that was very helpful, though, and it clarifies the difference here.
Let me ask Carol a question.
Yeah.
Is there another provision somewhere in here, because there's so much stuff here, I can't read all of it, which provides for the local advisory board to remove the delegate to the national?
Yes.
That's in somewhere?
That's later.
Yeah. Later.
All right.
Later on. Okay, so now we're clear.
Yeah.
So now that we're clear, do we agree? Does everybody know what I'm asking? Do we have a
group? Yes. Okay.
What?
Does everyone agree that the members who elect the local boards can remove anybody from the local board that they elected, and that in doing so, they remove them from all offices, other offices of the foundation that they may hold?
Does everybody agree on that?
As long as there's standards for removal. As long as there's standards for removal.
That's unanimous.
Okay, does everybody, those who agree with that, please raise your hand. Okay, everybody agrees.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, now, in this same section that we're in here, Article 3, Section 2, Part A, in the proposals C, D, I think especially C and D, I'm not sure about E, I'm not reading fast enough. There are other issues here, too, it seems.
And B. Yeah, you know, it's very difficult when the grid got put together to put equivalent sections next to each other, because these bylaws were written by different minds in different order. I noticed that the KPFK committee model has a lot of things under rights that are covered elsewhere in other provisions, so I'm not quite sure how we're going to compare them, because they're covered in other proposals in a different place, and
I'm not sure either what to do.
Not to identify them.
Can I propose?
Can I
propose an issue that the election scheme, that the exercise of the right to elect a local board member, that the election scheme include proportional voting with the option for the local board to use single transferable voting? Would that be an appropriate issue?
That's a later point, isn't it?
Okay.
It's in a different part of the proposals. When they're laid out on the grid in a certain order, in the order of the KPFT model, we get there eventually. We're not there yet.
That's what we're trying to start now. We're still on page 6 of the small grid. I don't know where the equivalent is on the large grid. We're still on Article 3, Section 2, Point A, the first point on the right. What I actually would suggest, and I don't know if this makes sense or not, that, again, there are other issues raised under Model C and Model D especially. What I want to suggest is that we skip those for the moment.
And come back.
Go on to amendment of bylaws, you know, the other things in this section, in this article.
Yeah.
Because I think they're more equivalent. Mm-hmm. That somebody tonight look at C and D and try and figure out where those items will come up, you know, in the rest of the bylaws section.
Right.
So we don't lose them.
Right.
Right. But let's skip them right now.
But Carol, Jabari, can do that. Can Carol do that?
Jabari, yeah. I don't know. Carol, can you do that?
She's chair of the committee.
No. Jabari, no. Okay.
No.
Okay, Jabari.
As a matter of thinking about rights, I think it would help if, because under this KPFK committee thing, it's a litany of things, most of which I don't think are rights. Because to me, a right is something that the member themselves can do.
That's what I'm saying, that we not put that in this
section. No, but I'm just, for clarification for people to try to think about. In other words, I'm a member of this foundation. What should I be able, myself alone, what should I be able to do? Okay, I should be able to vote for members on the LAB. I should be able to recall people
right.
on the LAB.
Right.
But so I'm just saying, if you think about the process from that point of view, many of these things I think just go away because they won't, because a given member won't be able to activate these particular elements.
Right. Jabari, let me just repeat. What I was suggesting is that for now they go away, right? That we skip over them. But somebody look at them outside of the, you know, after the meeting tonight and try and figure out, are any of them integratable into some other part
right.
of this document?
I understood that. I was just trying to be a, give a, my basis of philosophically determined.
Right. Okay, so great. So let's move on then. Okay, let's move on to B, which is on page 7, amendment of bylaws. Right? Is that mm-hmm. where we're at? Mm-hmm. And I guess PFW didn't speak to that in their bylaws proposal. Carol, can you summarize these parts?
All right. KPFK committee proposal is that any amendment of the foundation bylaws shall require the vote of approval of the members in order to become effective. That's any amendment to the foundation bylaws whatsoever. The KPFT committee says any amendment of the bylaws that materially adversely affects the rights of the members or any class of members shall require the vote of approval of the members. In order to become effective. That's more limited. The bylaws could be changed to change, for instance, the number of board meetings per year without going to the board, to the members for approval, because that would probably not be deemed to materially adversely affect the rights of the members to change that bylaw provision. Just as an example. In the Fertig model, any proposed bylaws amendment that materially adversely affects the rights of the members or any class of members must be approved by majority vote of quorum of the members or class of members as applicable. And the members, what does adversely affect the rights of the members? For instance, if I have the right as a member to elect 6 members to my local board and you want to change the bylaws to say I get to elect 5, That's limited my voting rights. If you want to say that I get to elect my constituency as a staff member is to have 6 members on the local board and the listeners get 12, and you want to change the percentages so that my degree or percentage of representation isn't as strong, it's going to materially adversely affect someone. Those are the kinds of things that materially adversely affect members. If you want to amend the bylaws to take away one of my other rights. All right. So now we're back to Fertig, which says any proposed amendment that materially adversely affects the rights of members must be approved by majority vote of quorum of the members or class of members. And the proposal B says that any amendment of the bylaws that materially adversely affects the rights of the members or any class of members shall require the vote in order to become effective, and any amendment of the foundation bylaws that changes the number of local board members or foundation directors or the manner of election of local board members and directors shall require the vote of the members or affected class of members in order to become effective.
question, Carol?
Yes.
Does this mean members from all five listening areas? And so
yes.
How you weigh that? Suppose that New York has a larger number of members than, say, Washington. Is it the total membership?
It's a class of members. So if the listener sponsors are a class of members, would be...
No, I understand. I'm saying that if there's a material or something that adversely affects the membership, do you have to have voting by all five listening areas?
Yeah.
And you add up the numbers and just get the majority vote from the total five?
Yeah, it would be.
Is that right?
Yes, it would be. If it was affecting the whole class of members,
right,
you'd have to have a vote of the whole class, which would be nationwide.
Not nationwide. Would it be?
All of the listener sponsor members, though they vote by station area, they're a class of members.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob was next, and then I'll call you.
I just wanted to point out that the WPFW bylaws in Article 11 deal with the amendment of bylaws. That's what they are.
So we'll get there. Okay.
Oh, well, so we should look at it now.
Sorry
about that.
Leslie, are we still talking about rights of members?
Yes.
Yes. Well, this is under a right, that the members have a right to vote directly on the amendment to bylaws.
Okay,
that's
but
being proposed.
I think all of this stuff, in fact, everything from this point to the end of the section,
we just wanted to advise stations that we will continue broadcasting tonight's meeting until its conclusion, so you're invited to stick with us if you can.
The document. That's what you're talking about. And that's not really a right. That's a administrative privilege. So from a process point of view, that needs to be removed out of a section where you're just delineating those simple rights of a member. Because that's what every individual themselves can do. That's what I'm saying. A right is something that each person can do irrespective of anybody else.
Well, that's the right to vote on voting. The right to vote on amendments to bylaws is similar to the right to vote on election of directors or local.
But if you want to say that,
right,
just state that and not go through the process of what that is.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we are.
We all agree that members.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Should that go in an amendment to bylaws?
It may go belong better in the amendment of bylaws section.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Because
okay, but the question is, okay, so we might move it to another section,
yeah,
but do we agree with the content of it? And then we can figure out where it goes.
It
might be other
moved
things.
I say let's move it to where, and when we get to it, let's
and
deal
then
with it.
So was
like
that
we did with the
11?
Other one. Like we did with the other one.
Question, Leslie?
Wait, on this question,
yeah, yeah,
or whether or not we're going
to... No, on this question.
Since we've had a discussion on it,
yeah.
I just want to mention that PAC is similar to KPFK's, which says any amendment must be ratified, not one that necessarily adversely, because
right,
the determination of what adversely affects them can be instrumental.
Okay. Where is yours?
So,
it's not on the grid.
No, I know, but where in what?
Yes, it is on the grid, and I can tell you where it is.
Okay.
On column D for the KPFK Bylaws Committee, it says, as specified in Article 13.
What page?
I'm on page 7 of the little grid.
Right.
And there's a reference in column D in section B, Amendment of Bylaws, to Article 13. The problem is that we didn't lay it out the same way, so that you will find our Article 13 on the little grid on page 49 in the discussion of Article 17.
All right.
So if you just put a note there and say, see page 49, or refer to Article 17,
okay,
section A, you'll have the reference. Okay.
Question?
Yes.
I assume with this process of work, if the board of directors would vote to change the bylaws, then it would have to be ratified or unratified by the membership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can the membership itself, say in Washington, the membership in Washington, initiate a bylaw change and take it to the national board?
Yeah.
But we're going to come to that later.
Wait a minute.
Is it Section 11 where it says? I mean, Article 11?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that we got two rights already. You got a right to vote for lab members. You got.
I'm just asking where it should come up again.
In our
11, I think.
11 in our proposal. Right.
Okay, so when we get to 11, we'll come back to this whole question
right
about the process for amending bylaws.
Right.
Okay. I think we all agree.
No, my only other question is, do you want to delineate specifically in this section under members' rights, do you want to say members shall have the right to vote on alteration or amendments of the bylaws?
I think that's a legal question that our lawyer could tell us in what order to put these things to make sure that they're, you know, we're
okay,
covering
but
everything.
Okay, pending that, let's just put the whole thing under that section.
Under 11. Right. Okay, I think we agreed to that.
Okay,
great.
Clarification.
Yes, sure.
I think Brother Jabari is trying to make a point of perhaps, in terms of members' rights, perhaps something comparable to a like the Bill of Rights,
right,
where you just list rights first.
Yeah.
Then
right,
you go into the process of how do
right,
you
right,
enforce
okay,
the rights, or how did what's
right,
the process for it? And I
right,
think that's the point he keeps making, and I think
yeah,
it keeps getting missed. But it's just list them first and then the process. I think that's the point.
That's right.
Okay.
We got
great,
it.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, then.
Thank you,
okay,
sister.
Okay.
All right.
So, can we move on then?
There's one other right that's listed in two proposals that are somewhat equivalent, approval of acquisition or disposition of major assets. The members of the foundation shall have the right to approve or reject acquisition or disposition of major foundation assets, for example, real property and radio broadcast licenses. That's in KPFA. It means you can't do it without a vote of approval of the members. And the KPFT proposal is slightly different. A petition signed by a number not less than 2.5% of voters in the last national election. I'm assuming that's the last national board election, I'm not sure, shall...
I think it's the last presidential
election. Last presidential election? No, I don't think so. 2.5% of the number of voters who voted for the last time for directors shall initiate a national referendum to reject the acquisition or disposition of assets, including intellectual property rights, whose determined value is $500,000 or greater.
Okay, I thought that we couldn't, under any circumstance, talk about selling real property.
Well, yeah,
you can.
Sure.
No. In the interim board, the settlement agreement that the interim board is working under says that we can't sell the licenses
or lease.
What? But we're working on new bylaws, right? That the settlement agreement will disappear from the face of the earth. Finally.
So now the discussion is we're talking about whether we're going to grant the board the right to sell licenses.
No, the board has the right to sell licenses unless we limit it. That's the board can sell licenses unless we limit it, and what we're doing is placing some limits.
Okay, so they had that right before, and then the settlement agreement stopped it, and now we're
the settlement agreement stopped it for the period of the interim board. Now we could. I believe there was a proposal, I don't remember where I saw this, maybe I'm making it up, that there was a proposal floating around at some point that the bylaws have a no-sale provision in it, that the board would not have the right to sell. Right. What this is saying is that, assuming that there is a right to sell a license, that the members would have that right to approve or reject such a possibility.
Authority. It's not a right.
The way KPFA reads here, unless it's quantified, it is really not. You cannot execute it properly. You talk about major asset. Without defining what that means, it would be a opening of Pandora's box. So this would have to define what value, what's the limit.
That's true. There probably should be a monetary equivalent value.
Well, one at a time, folks. Okay, Marion and then David.
The model that we've adopted so far, where the membership elects delegates to the local board,
please.
The local board selects and elects members of the national board, is what I call a representative democracy process. If this is what we adopted, then it seems to me that to go back now to say that the membership would have a right to get involved with major assets seems to me goes against the representative democracy model, doesn't it?
Well, I think that I understand what you're saying, and that there's certainly a logic to that. I think what Ray is saying, that without quantifying this, what is a major asset, then we don't know. You know, does something rise above sort of the normal flow of the business of the foundation and therefore is deserving of attention by the members directly? I think we would all assume in the normal flow of things, right, the office needs to buy a new computer, but the members don't need to vote on that. Right.
Well, this is KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and WBAI in New York City.
Selling a license, should that rise above the concerns of the day-to-day operations and therefore need the approval or rejection, whatever, by the membership? That's what Ray is suggesting, that it's hard to take an action on this now because it's not spelled out enough, at least in the KPFA model. In the KPFT, there is this issue of $500,000 or greater.
I have clarification.
Yeah, clarification.
In the PAC bylaws, it says the members of the foundation shall have the right to approve or reject the acquisition or disposition of major foundation assets, which include but are not limited to real property, radio licenses, transmitters, and archives. At least a 90-day notice of any impending vote shall be given on air, and a 75% majority shall be required.
Majority from where?
That does spell it out more, but I know I would have a problem with that. If a transmitter, if a tower is crumbling at one of our stations, to have to slow down the process of buying a new one, because you have to go to an election process or a voting mechanism that involves the whole membership, I mean, that wouldn't work for me. That's a problem.
Let's point of clarification. Where are we? I just want to know, where are we?
We're under D, on page 7 at the bottom. And right now we're looking at D, approval of acquisition or disposition of major assets. And there are two versions of that, right? But let me suggest that maybe what we need to do to clear the table a little bit here, clear the air, is to see by a quick show of hands whether or not people feel that members should be directly involved in approving or rejecting acquisitions or the disposition of major foundation assets. Because if we do, then we need the language that speaks to that.
Are we
but if we don't feel that that's an appropriate activity for the members, then we can move on to
are
the
we
issue.
Putting this under a right?
Yes, this is put under, it is offered to us as a right of the members. Right. That is, the members would have the right to participate in that decision. That's how it's being offered. You could reject it. But
I'm curious here, if I could propose an alternative then, if one is to support either, for example, a vote of the members relative to a major asset liquidation, or a vote of the local boards, for example. On the other hand, I'm just saying that as a dichotomy, because to say you're for or against one will suggest there must be an alternative. I'm just merely posing that.
Okay, if that was what people wanted, it wouldn't go in the section. It would go in the section of the rights of the local boards. Right? So we would reject it from this section and bring it up again. Sorry, bring it up again under that section.
I would only vote to not have members do it if we could make sure that the local boards could.
Okay. All I'm saying is I can't guarantee that will happen. I can't look ahead and see how we're all going to vote on that. We have to vote on this now. You can vote on this issue now, understanding that there's another place to bring it in. And that would be under the rights and the authority, the power, whatever word you want to use, of the local boards. Okay? I think, can we get a strong poll here of folks? Right? And we just want to see how divided we are.
I think you should, again, I don't think this comes under membership rights. That goes into governance power.
Then vote against it.
Okay, what is the actual thing we're going to vote on?
We're going to vote whether the members will have the rights to approve or reject acquisition or disposition of major assets. Do we like that idea or not?
Right, right. And then if we like it, I think we understand
we
it would
be further.
We can
put it in a different part of the bylaws if you want, but that this is a right that's spelled out in the corporation's code in the list of rights you can give to members, and I want to see if we want to give it to the members.
Okay, let me just say that if we agree, if you agree, if each person voting agrees that the members should have this right, then you would vote yes, and it would stay in this section, even if it needs fine-tuning or, you know, more thorough definitions, whatever. If you disagree, if you think that it shouldn't be a right of a member, but it should be a right of a local board, then it should go in, it will come up in that, you'll raise it in that section. You vote against it now. If you disagree and think it's only the right of the national board, then you vote against it and raise it there. If you disagree and think it's only the right of the executive director, then you vote against it now. Right. So you can say nobody has a right. You think nobody has the right to do it, then you vote against it. Okay? Okay? We're clear.
Okay.
Not quite clear.
I don't want to be too much a stick of philosophy. I think the correct wording is not right, but power and authority.
Okay.
A right is something that is inherent just because you exist. Power and authority is granted you vested in the legal delegation of what your documents say you have authority to
okay.
do.
Okay. Might I suggest that we not get into that now, that we would ask the lawyer to help clarify those kinds of things and put them in the right board. We're looking for the
I got you. I vote no.
Okay. Okay. So all those who support the right or authority or power, whatever, of the members to vote on the acquisition, to approve or reject the acquisition or disposition of major foundation assets, vote yes. All those in favor of that, put your hand up. One, two. Okay. And all those who don't support that? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
See, that's the thing. Well, I think you're presuming a lot.
No.
That takes a lot of stuff because you don't want anybody to sell stations. So you
right.
just say no, period.
That's right. There are. I tried to be crystal clear
right.
that the no vote on this wording, on this part, encompasses a lot of other possibilities that people
right.
might have.
Well,
people might. I'm just saying that,
right.
that if this is not a total rejection of some accountability on this issue, right? It could be that you voted no because you think nobody should have the right to sell a station.
Could I make a point of clarification?
Yes, yes.
I'd like to make a point of clarification. Our bylaws cannot have a no-sale provision. It's against public policy.
Okay.
It's against public policy. If we own an asset, we have the right to sell it.
Power
under
the
law,
the
and so if you don't want stations sold, you have to put some limits on it. And the limits would be that, I mean, basically under the law, the national board can vote to sell. So if you don't want the national board to be able to vote to sell, you need to say, well, they have to get approval from somebody else.
I need to just interrupt for 1 second. Everyone think about this complicated issue for 1 second. We are being broadcast live on at least two stations, and we told people that this meeting tonight would wrap up 15 minutes ago. So people in those stations need to know how long we're going. I would like us to keep going. We might understand that the stations have to break away from this, right, because they thought we were going to end earlier.
They should have known better.
If you can hang in there with us, that would be greatly appreciated. But we understand programming realities, and you may need to fade out, or we may need to fade out. So if we could just keep going.
Time on it because we'll have to preempt shows.
Okay. The problem is I don't know. We seem to be on a roll here, and I don't want to break it. So hang with us as long as you can. If you need to fade away, we understand.
Fearless leader.
Yes. Okay. David was next.
If I might. And I know that there's concern that we're dealing with certain sections in a certain order under certain names and so forth. However, insofar as we have just voted to not have any major sale be required to be submitted to listeners, I think we should resolve this issue so people are not left wondering what constraints we would place upon it. I think we should go ahead, even though it's under a different section, to address that issue so that people aren't walking away from here tonight going, well, I wonder what they're going to do about major assets.
She already said that.
No, I'm sorry. No. We have not voted on that. David, I understand, but you know, there have been a lot of big questions about the future of this organization that haven't been resolved for months. If people
just
could bear with us, we'll get to tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just hang in there with us, folks. We're not ignoring this issue. We're going to come back to it.
Okay.
So if that's okay, we can stick to the order. Ray, did you want to say
something? I have a rather unusual request. I'm surprised by the result of the vote. Would anybody care to comment on the rationale for voting against that?
For voting against what?
I'll offer my comments. As I said before, I think this is not clarified enough. What is a major asset? If a tower is included, you know, this is a serious problem. I do think that there needs to be some checks and balances here. I am more interested in seeing this power or right or authority in the hands of the local boards. In combination, actually, between the local board and the national board, which are elected bodies. Those boards could choose to take a poll of their members. You know, there are other ways to get input from people, but I don't think this process is workable to put it in the hands of the membership. So that's why I voted this way.
I understand,
folks. Thank you. Okay, so can we keep moving? Folks,
Can we keep moving? Acquisition and sales. Is it possible to separate acquisition and sales?
Yeah,
because it means that...
If someone can come up with language and we can come revisit that later.
Exactly.
But let's not do
I think that that's the contention.
Leslie, it's a part of... point process. Can we keep going to try to find things that we agree on?
That's
because we get stuck down in things that we don't agree on.
Can we go to the next page?
Can we agree on maybe telling people that there's a reception starting downstairs?
I did announce
there
that
is
earlier.
Food down there, and it looks like we might be pulling an all-nighter.
No.
I have no idea how much longer we're going to go, but we might want to mention that if people want to downstairs.
Thank you. Okay, we did mention that earlier, but we'll mention it again. There is food downstairs and a cash bar. If anybody wants to bring us drinks, that would be great.
Bring them on.
But all kidding aside, let's get through at least the end of this article. Turn to page
Article 3.
And then see where we are if we want to continue or take a, or stop after this article. But let's see. Maybe this stuff is pretty easy.
It's pretty easy.
Okay, so the next, on page 8, top of page 8, again, I'm not sure what it is on the big grid. There's one item D called attend board and committee meetings. That is that the members shall have the right. This would be in the bylaws that the members would have the right, shall have the right to attend all board and committee meetings except those closed for hearing personnel matters and to speak during the period to be set aside for member comment.
No brainer, thank goodness.
Is there,
you saying yes, Jabari?
Yes.
Go on.
All right. It's addressed elsewhere in other provisions, but I think we have to be able to close meetings to talk about legal matters from time to time. It's not, other than personnel matters, I think there's legal matters that we do have to be able to close meetings.
I think it's legal and financial.
Not financial. I
just
don't think
personnel
we should,
and legal.
Personnel and legal.
Right. So your problem with this is the particular wording of it. It's not the concept of meetings being open. Cal.
Yeah, I think that we. I'll tell you my thought about it. The CPB, as long as we take their money, requires us to hold all of our meetings openly. We can't go into executive session to just because we are embarrassed by what we're going to talk about. We can only hold a closed meeting if we're talking about a specific personnel matter, a legal matter, and the CPB gives us an out for proprietary matters, whatever that means. That may have something to do with competition with other entities, I suppose. That's it.
So let me just say that because we are obliged to do that anyway, obligated to do that anyway, the question is whether or not this has to be in the bylaw.
Well, we might, the CPB might change their rules,
right, or we might
no longer take CPB money,
but
so do we want
Carol,
to commit
also, did you say this is spoken to in another article?
Would this
prevent the board from holding retreats?
No.
Is that addressed anywhere else?
No.
No.
That I have to say, is the difference between a retreat and a meeting is a meeting you conduct business.
Right.
A retreat you don't.
Okay. Just thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. We do whatever
fearless leader.
We do at those retreats.
Fearless leader.
Okay, yes.
Dave Furtick here, yes. On page 22 of the grid, under the C proposal on the section D, basically it provides for closed sessions to consider matters relating to individual employees, proprietary information, litigation, and other matters requiring confidential advice of counsel, commercial or financial, and so forth. It lays out some things which I believe are reasonably standard relative to executive session. But then it also goes on to say, if any such meeting is closed pursuant to the provisions of this paragraph, the organization involved, and that means either the local board or the national board or committees thereof, shall thereafter, within a reasonable period of time, make available to the public by airing and posting on the Internet a written statement containing an explanation of the reasons for closing the meeting. And I would add, it should also say, also summarizing what was decided.
Okay. So can we come back to this when we get to page 22?
Okay.
Can we skip it?
Right.
Okay. Then there's also D. Point D, put forth for us by the KBFT model, listeners, sponsors, and staff members of each station shall have the right to serve and vote on committees of the station. In other words, that even if you're not elected as a delegate to the local board, that you would have a right to serve on a committee of that local board. Is there any objection to that?
Well, actually... There is.
Leslie?
There is. Okay, yes.
It's confusing to me to say you have a right to do it, and then somebody say you can't come on the committee because we don't need you on the committee.
Exactly.
So I don't understand that.
If I might suggest, it may serve and vote, but the committees, I mean, there would have to be a manner of...
So it's not a right then?
Well, it's not a right. It's not an innate right because then I got a right, I'm on this committee. I can't just walk into
so
a committee.
So it may serve... Okay, I think it clarifies it. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so the language that people are interested in is listeners, sponsors, and staff members for each station may have the right to...
May serve.
No,
I'm
may
sorry,
serve.
May serve. may they may not have the right.
You don't.
May serve.
If you have me, don't.
And vote. Well, voting is not...
May serve.
Can we just see about the core value here, right? The core issue here. That is, do we agree that the committees of our local board should be open to the participation of non-elected people?
Yes.
That's how we get our work done.
Okay.
Yes. Then we'll find the right language and the right placement.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have to vote? I saw a lot of nodding heads. Maybe people are falling asleep. I don't know.
The mechanism by which that happens has to be worked out.
Yeah.
Yes, mechanism to be worked out and the placement in the bylaws to be worked out.
All right.
Okay, quorum.
Okay. This tells us whether we've held a valid election, really. And for purpose, this is not a right. We've gone beyond rights, and this is another thing under. We're not on rights. That was section 3. We're now on section 4. For purposes of any election or written ballot, a quorum of the listener sponsors shall be 10% of those entitled to vote, and a quorum of the staff members shall be 1/3 of those entitled to vote as of the applicable date of record. And in the KPFK proposal, it says a quorum of the members shall be 10% of those entitled to vote as of the applicable date of record. That's in the KPFK committee. I believe the Furtick proposal in another section higher up had it at 15%. Is that right, Dave?
He's out of the room.
All right.
I'm curious as to why KPFA has this difference between staff and us.
Because the numbers involved are significantly different. When you have We have at KPFA somewhere around 25,000 eligible voters who are members, and our staff, we have somewhere around 100 or 125. So it's reasonable to expect a third of the staff to show up and vote, but it's not necessarily reasonable to expect a third of the listener sponsors to show up and vote in order to have a valid election.
Yeah.
How was 10% arrived at? Seems to me we want to raise the bar a bit higher. Otherwise, if we're talking about poor democracy, you ought to try to encourage it as much as you can.
We decided that at KPFA based on consultation with other nonprofits who told us 2 to 3% was high.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So we set what we thought was a high barrier.
What result did you get?
10%?
I'm confused.
Yeah.
What do we, a quorum for what?
To vote.
For a vote
to be valid. In other words, if 9% of the eligible voters voted, the vote wouldn't count.
Shouldn't this go into elections?
No.
No? That may be other business.
I mean, I don't understand what section this is coming under, because it's not under member rights, so I don't know.
No,
what.
It's under the definition of members. We're going through all the things that have to do with members.
Because we have a section on the quorums of the elections, and I don't... No.
What's the quorum of the members? They don't show up in person. We've got 25,000 of them. So we have to say, what's a quorum? To conduct a valid ballot.
I'm sorry, let me just interrupt again for one second for technical reasons. I've just been asked to let the listeners in Los Angeles, in Southern California, at KPFK, know that they will continue broadcasting until we're finished tonight. So hang in there with us, and we want to thank the management for that. And again, also want to thank WBAI for continuing to hang in there with us. Okay, so now during that brief intermission, you've all figured out.
Under the KPFK committee, it says a quorum of the members shall be 10% of those entitled to vote as of the applicable date of record. Now, what are they voting for? Is this like an LAB meeting and they're voting on a motion?
No, they're voting for the members of the LAB. For the election of the LAB to be valid, you have to have a quorum.
In other words, let me try this. My understanding of the way elections work in this country, right, that, you know, we have elections coming up in November. God help us. Anyway... that if two people vote, or let's say three people vote, and two people can elect somebody, right? There's no minimum number of people required for an election to be valid. What this is saying is that there needs to be at least a certain threshold met for that to have legitimacy. And the suggestion is 10% of the listener sponsors and was a third of the staff.
Okay, because
that's not true. What you said.
No, because in our discussions, in our subcommittee, one of the things that we were trying to grapple with was how do you elect members to an LAB when you have less members running than seats available.
And this is KPFK in Los Angeles and WBAI in New York.
Threshold so that even if you have 20 people running, you have a 30-member board, that those 20 people have to reach a threshold, and if they don't reach the threshold, even though there's empty seats, they don't get elected. Now, I don't know if that's the same philosophy of a quorum, and it sounds like it's different in that all you're saying that a certain number of people have to vote,
right,
and not that certain people have to get a certain number of the votes. What I'm more concerned with is I think you can subsume both of those concepts by looking at the point of view of having a minimum vote requirement, because I think the bottom line is the concept is you want a certain number of people to validate the vote. You want to have a certain number of people involved in the process to validate the point. Okay, right, okay. So the issue isn't really how many people come out to vote. That's not just the issue. I think, and from our discussion, the issue is, well, do people get an automatic seat
just because there are not enough people, there are less people running for
no,
the seats.
That's not what we're talking about now.
That's another.
I understand that. So, but my point is this. This issue, this concept, the concept that we're talking about comes under our election process. What are the criteria for having a, quote, valid election? And that would come under this concept that you're talking about came